Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to today's episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network and all of our title sponsors who bring us this show and allow us to do this every single day. Whether your sport be baseball, college football, basketball, hockey, whatever the case may be, there's a Locked On show directly tailored to your fan needs. Just go to the Locked On Podcast Network across any of your favorite podcasting platforms, whether that be Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, whatever the case may be. The Locked On Podcast Network is on just about every single podcasting platform you can think of. Follow your team in style. Follow your team every day. Locked On Podcasts, your teams every day. So today was a big deal, Braves fans. I'm very jealous for those of you that got to sit at home and watch this one because the noon start time is absolutely ridiculous. I talked about that yesterday with the matchup of Max Fried, Trevor Bauer, and the presumptive MVP in Freddie Freeman, and you had them buried on a noon start. For a lot of people, though, I think the Braves game might have still been going on by the time they got home. It was a five-hour game, as it is the longest game in history to go without a score. The Braves win 1-0 in the 13th inning of what was just an awesome display of pitching, really, by both teams. The Braves' offense was not strong. We'll talk about that in a little bit here, but I want to focus on the positive here. As Trevor Bauer went out there and shoved, and Max Fried went out there, and when the Braves needed him most against the presumptive NL Cy Young winner, and it's pretty much locked up to be Bauer at this point, Max Fried went out there and went longer than he has in any start in 2020. Max went a full seven innings today, got into a little bit of trouble there at the end, started off in trouble, giving up two singles right out of the gate to Nick Senzel and Nick Castellanos, got out of that no damage. I believe he gave up six or seven hits, and they were all singles. Didn't give up a single extra base hit all day long. Max just went out there and absolutely shoved. The velocity was back up, and Max just went out there and put the Braves on his back. They didn't score any runs from him. Gets the no decision, so he might be forgotten about a little bit. But Max Fried was every bit of what Braves fans could have hoped and prayed that he would be. Looked phenomenal. I believe it was five or six strikeouts for him. At one point, he struck out four in a row. Was doing his normal weak contact, was absolutely carving up the Reds hitters, the Reds lineup. They weren't able to get anything hard against him. It was a great day for Max Fried. On the flip side, Trevor Bauer set a Cincinnati record for strikeouts in a postseason game with 12. He went 7 2/3. He had a fantastic start himself. Made a lot of hitters look really, really foolish. So he went out there and absolutely shoved. Didn't give up anything either. But it's okay because the Braves ended up winning. And on a day when offense was very hard to come by for both teams, the Braves, I believe, had only two hits in regulation. They didn't get a third hit, I don't believe, until it was either maybe the eighth inning or maybe the 11th, but it was a very long time between hit number two and hit number three. But the Braves were able to stick with it. Max was immaculate. The bullpen was fantastic, dancing in and out, dodging trouble. And it was nice to see another team falling victim to being unable to score runs with runners in scoring position. As the Braves' bullpen just pitched a masterful game, was able to get in and out of trouble all day long. It was really, really amazing to see guys like Tyler Matzek, who had a great run, would get himself into trouble at some points, but had five strikeouts over his two innings. Will Smith, who danced the tightrope a little bit. Mark Melanson looked better than he's looked all season to me. When you're just looking at this lineup of the pitching, Max went seven innings with six runs, no walks, which was huge, five strikeouts, and it might have been four of those were in a row. Chris Martin had a clean inning. Mark Melanson, clean inning with a strikeout. Will Smith went an inning and a third with three strikeouts. The fastball for him up to 95 from what usually sits around 92. Darren O'Day came into a little bit of trouble. He only went a third of an inning, gave up a hit, walked two. But then Tyler Matzek came in and got the Braves out of that jam, ended up going inning and a third, gave up two hits, but struck out four, including striking out the side after getting himself into a little bit of trouble. Shane Green came in. He only went a third of an inning, gave up two hits as well. Didn't look great there. But A.J. Minter came in, went two-thirds of an inning, had a walk, had a strikeout, and the Braves' bullpen managed to cover one, two, The Braves bullpen covered six full innings today. As you can tell, my math is not great. Overall, 16 strikeouts for the Braves pitchers. Cincinnati had outstanding outings of their own as they ended up racking up 21 strikeouts in 12 and a third innings. Really, really strong stuff from the pitching department. And if you're an offensive guy, this was not your game. There was a little bit of everything. There was some bad offense. There was missing a lot of meatballs that were right down the heart of the plate. There was bad base running on the part of the Reds. There was great defense on the part of the Braves, and we're going to talk about that a little bit farther. And to cap it all off, the Braves get a walk-off to win their first Game 1 in nearly 20 years by the presumptive MVP, Freddie Freeman, who had a little bit of a tough day. Went 1-for-4, but that one hit was the biggest hit of the game as he was able to drive in Christian Pache, who was a pinch runner, to give the Braves that first victory in Game 1, which really sets them up nicely for the series as they get to head into tomorrow's tilt, which will also be at 12:08, which I'm not happy about, which will feature Luis Castillo and Ian Anderson in a matchup of maybe the two best changeups in baseball, maybe Kenta Maeda's split change as well, which is probably my favorite pure pitch in baseball. But overall for the offense, the Braves offense tallied 6 hits. The Reds tallied 11. The Reds did have one error on the day as well, as the Braves were just able to pitch well enough to earn that victory. And when I say they earned that victory, they earned every bit of that. There was no hitter in the lineup that had more than one hit. Ronald Acuna went 1-for-6. Freddie 1-for-4. Marcel 0-for-5. Travis 1-for-5. Ozzy 1-for-5. Duvall 0-for-4 with 4 Ks. He wore the golden sombrero. Dansby 0-for-5. Nick 1-for-5. Austin Riley 1-for-5. It was a hard day to find some hits, but the Braves were able to scratch out a victory. And honestly, if you're asking me, that was a more impressive victory. I feel better about the Braves after today's game than I did going into the season. You guys know I felt good about going into it anyway. But for the Braves, who traditionally have to win based on their offense, to go out there and win a 13-inning game 1-0, that was great. In a day where the offense was not good, they were swinging at everything, they were missing meatballs, they were also just facing some great pitching, they were able to scratch out a really important victory, and the Reds had to use nearly all of their bullpen as well. For the Braves, everybody except for maybe Matzik is probably going to be available tomorrow. Matzik with an inning and a third, he's probably not going to be available tomorrow. Everybody else, I believe pretty much everybody else, kept their pitch counts 15 or under, so it should be all systems go for tomorrow. Max going into the seventh really helped out. And the Braves have a better bullpen than the Reds anyway. So this outcome with the Braves winning 1-0 in 13 innings, this could be the biggest boon for this series for the Braves that they've come up with. Because for the Reds, losing a game like that is absolutely awful. We here in Atlanta, we know what it's like to play games like that. For a long time, that game kind of felt like one of those games where Atlanta just gives it away, where they had opportunities and just weren't able to make contact. But the Braves were able to scratch it out, stretch it out behind fantastic pitching performances from just about everybody, and they were able to scratch across that elusive first run. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the players that really highlighted this day for me. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this on Locked On Braves. Hey everybody, it's Dylan from Locked On Braves here to tell you about my good friends at rockauto.com. Your car is a very big part of your life. It gets you everywhere you need to go, from work to pleasure. Basically, everything in your life revolves around your car. Sometimes cars need to get fixed. So my good buddies over at rockauto.com know this, and they make it easy for you. They're a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They've got everything from engine control modules, brake parts, taillights, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Just write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Go to rockauto.com today.
Oh,
All right, welcome back from break. Braves fans, a very, very special day. As I mentioned in the first segment, the Braves won their first Game 1 in 19 years since 2001. Ironically enough, the last time they won a postseason series. The Braves head into Tuesday's game with the chance to sweep a series and move on for the first time in 19 years. We know exactly how big of a weight that is. Freddie Freeman, if you listen to his postgame, really feels he knows exactly what it's been like for these fans as Freddie sounds Atlanta to the core now. I know he spends a lot of his time in California, but he seems like an Atlanta guy. And for Freddie to cap off such a big game for the city, honestly, one of the biggest games in 20 years for the Braves, for him to cap that game off with the game-winning RBI, to have the walk-off, it just cements what already should have been an MVP season for Freddie. Absolutely incredible. Had some really, really strong defensive efforts from Austin Riley, who also made a couple really head-scratching decisions. But Austin's glove over there at third saved the game at least twice that I saw, and I was only able to watch sporadically while I was at the other job, so it could have been even more than that. But Austin making plenty of diving and sliding plays all day. They got Aristides Aquino in a really perplexing rundown that really was horrible on both sides, as Aquino didn't break to the plate when he should have, and Riley decided to take it for himself and try to chase down Aquino from about a third of away from home plate. That was a really bad decision on his part, but he dove and made the tackle, and it worked out for him. He also had a fantastic swipe tag on Nick Castellanos, who tried to get a little froggy and take an extra base on a single in the right field off of Max Fried and Adam Duvall, who looked like he didn't quite get there as fast as maybe people were expecting. Threw a laser of a throw, put it on perfectly, and Austin was able to tag Castellanos out to erase the runner at third base and really help the Braves as well. Really strong day defensively for Austin Riley, and it's one of those things that can go a little bit unnoticed with Austin because he doesn't have fantastic range. His arm is not exceedingly accurate, but he has really, really soft hands. He's got pretty good reaction times as well. If the ball is in his vicinity, he's going to catch it. Now, whether he always makes an accurate throw is up for debate. I've said this before. I really do believe that all the time he spent in left field last year hurt the arm accuracy because he never really had accuracy issues coming up through the minors. It's something that the more reps he gets at third base again, the more he'll dial that arm in. And boy, he was important for the Braves today. Offensively, he looked lost at times, but that's just kind of going to be Austin's thing. I've talked about it on TPS a lot, that Austin almost reminds me of Justin Upton, where when he's hot, he's red hot and he carries your team. And when he's cold, he's ice cold. I'm not too worried about that. When you have a guy who is able to play that level of defense behind that level of pitching, it sets the team up very nicely. And I say this all the time, and if you listen to Alex Rodriguez, I have no idea how he is still employed as a broadcaster. He is, without a doubt, the worst broadcaster in all of sports. It is, and it's not particularly close. His delivery is painfully awkward. He just kind of brown noses Rob Manfred as much as possible. And the way he talked about sacrifice bunting today, you'd think that he was a bunt master himself rather than a guy that had 16 sacrifice bunts in 22 seasons, all of them coming before 2000 when he was a young player with the Mariners. But that aside, and that was painful to listen to, for those of you that watched all of A-Rod trying to broadcast a game, I really feel sorry for you. You should listen to the radio broadcast tomorrow because there's no way I want to listen to him 2 days in a row. But for the Braves, they were able to do that, and they were able to go out there and perform in all facets while the offense did not do anything for them all day. And that is very important because we know what this Braves offense can be. We know that this Braves offense is a stellar offense. I talked about it yesterday, where they were basically 2 and 3 in the league in pretty much every single category. All the ones that mattered, they were top two or top three. Just a really, really electric lineup. And for them to go out there and win a game 1-0, that's not a score that we've seen the Braves come out on top of a lot this season. I mean, usually the MO for this team behind some shaky starting pitching has been you have to rack up the runs. And for Max, it just kind of added to the pressure that he was already having today. For him to come out and get his first big league postseason start in game one of the most important series we've had in a while for Atlanta, really, really strong effort on his part. And Freddie just willing himself to a hit, just a great all-around showing. I talked about Adam Duvall and his throw. Had a rough day at the plate, but had that really, really strong throw. Ozzie Albies had some good plays and some bad, but overall just a day that you can't really find too many negative things. The bullpen was fantastic. Brian Snicker made the right calls with his bullpen usage, even though a couple of them Had me scratching my head when he made them. It turned out that they were the right moves at the time. Ended up working out for him. And for the Braves and for the Braves fans, this is a day that you go into tomorrow feeling really, really confident in a matchup of what I would consider two of the three best changeups in all of Major League Baseball. When you're talking about Luis Castillo, he's got an electric fastball too. Now, when he gets barreled on his fastball, it goes a long way, and the Braves can mash some fastballs. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. When you're talking about two changeup guys, especially guys who throw the changeup as often as these two guys do, whoever makes one more mistake, that's probably going to be the losing pitcher. And again, at a 12:08 start time, with the way that the shadows play in Truist Park as the game goes further and further into the afternoon, it might be another affair of low-run baseball. But for the Braves, you were able to avoid losing to Trevor Bauer. I won't say you beat Trevor because he was absolutely fantastic. By the way, I don't care about him chopping coming off the field. Trevor's a D-bag all the time anyway, but that's something that doesn't bother me. I mean, if you're pitching that good, then sure, celebrate a little bit. If the hitters don't want you to celebrate, they should hit the ball a little bit better. But going into tomorrow, start with Luis Castillo. He's a guy that can either be amazingly dominant or he can go out there and give up five runs. And I think the name of the game for the Braves tomorrow is going to be get a couple runs early so they can help settle Ian Anderson down. It's going to be his first playoff start, obviously. Now, no fans in attendance means it's going to be a little bit easier on him. It won't be quite the same as having a ton of screaming fans going on. But for Ian, he's got to pick up a little bit of the slack that he's kind of had the last few starts where he's been a little bit erratic with his command. If he's able to go out there tomorrow and really shove, and I do think he has the demeanor to do that, he's going to have to do pretty much what Max did today. He's going to need to go out there and give the Braves about six or seven. He's going to need to be very efficient with his pitches. I know the bullpen is pretty well rested, and I don't know necessarily if Snicker will let Ian get to six or seven. He may be capped off at about five innings today. I know they weren't expecting Max to go a full seven innings, but Max was so efficient today, they just kind of let him go. I think Ian will be the same way. The first and second inning will be very telling for Ian Anderson about how far you should expect him to go into that game. I do expect the offense to perform better because I don't think Castillo is going into the eighth inning like Trevor Bauer did. That'll give the Braves a little bit more time to play against the Cincinnati bullpen. They had to use a lot of guys as well today. I think Lorenzen's probably not available. Amir Garrett picked up the loss today as they decided to pitch to Freddie instead of pitching to Marcell Ozuna. I think tomorrow the Braves are in a really good space. They got that first win out of the way. They're riding high. But they're not taking too much into account. They're not celebrating as much. They're not celebrating until they win the series, which I think is the right mindset for this team, especially a team that's gone 20 years without winning a postseason series. Going into tomorrow, feeling like you're on your way to finishing up the business, and with tomorrow a chance for the Braves to sweep, get a little bit of rest before the next round, which is going to be paramount for a lot of these players. All in all, tomorrow is setting up very nicely for Braves fans. I would like to see them finish it tomorrow. I don't really want it to come down to an elimination game. But for the Reds, it's going to be all hands on deck. I would not be shocked at all. I know I mentioned that the Braves should see their bullpen. It is a distinct possibility, though, that they go with Castillo and then bring in Sonny Gray after that, because you can't play for a game three without winning a game two. So for the Cincinnati Reds, it is going to be all hands on deck for tomorrow. So Ian Anderson, going to be a big, big day for him. Hopefully the offense can stake him to a few early runs. They certainly have the firepower to do so. We'll see how they handle the changeup heavy arsenal of Luis Castillo. We know this Braves offense can struggle to make contact at times. And against Castillo, that can be a pretty bad omen, but you don't have to get a lot of hits. You just got to make the hits count when you get them. And for the Braves, they got the only hit that mattered for today. Looking forward to heading into tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be able to have another really exciting celebratory episode for tomorrow. But for now, I'm going to go ahead and end this episode as it is already pretty late. I'm not sure which of you are going to be listening to this tonight and who's going to be listening to this in the morning. But either way, hope you enjoy the episode. Hope you guys are celebrating as much as I am. Hope you guys have enjoyed what we've witnessed so far this season and realize that we've got a long, long way to go in order for the Braves to do what we think they should do this season. But it all starts with winning that first series. The Braves have a chance to do that tomorrow. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up now. I'll see you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.